Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
And he talks about in verse 2, he says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." You know, every one of us have faults and we all have problems. And as long as we're here on earth, even if we've trusted Christ, we're not going to be perfect because we got this flesh holding us down. You know, Paul said, "The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do." And he says, "Oh, wicked man am I, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And he was talking about his flesh. You know, his mind wanted to do the right thing, but his flesh wanted to do something else because he saw all these other things. That's why when we die, we go up with just the spirit, and then one day when God comes at the second coming, or at the rapture, he's going to raise our bodies, and we're going to have a spiritual body, and our body's going to be perfect. He's going to raise it it's going to be an incorruptible body. It's going to be a perfect body. And we won't have this sin in it that came into our bodies and our lives when Adam and Eve sinned. And so he's going to change our bodies. He's changed our spirits now, but our spirits are warring against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. And the devil's in that mix too. Because the Bible says we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers, rulers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness in high places. So the next time somebody's on your case giving you a hard time, just think, you know, the devil's in that person. You shouldn't hate that person. You shouldn't be mad with that person. But you should be realizing that the devil is controlling that person's mouth, that person's actions. And you should feel sorry for that person because they don't have Christ in their life. They don't have Christ in their life, and they need Christ to change their mouth, their actions, the way they do things. But the man that doesn't know Christ is going to do bad things. And that's all we can do because we don't know any better. So we just need to feel sorry for those that don't need Christ and try to lead them to Christ so their life can change and they can have that joy and peace that we have, because people need the Lord and every one of us need the Lord. If you trusted Christ, what you had is better than what you had before. I don't care what you had to give up. If you gave up all the riches of the world, but you gained your soul, that's the greatest thing you'll ever have. But he talks about that we all have faults, and the major problem we have is our tongue. Shouldn't discourage us to try teaching. If we think we have the gift of teaching, we should try to teach and just find out if the Lord leads us. You know, because teaching is one of those things, it's like anything else. First time you go out and do it, unless God has just gifted you to be some magnificent speaker, most of us have to work at it. Most of us have to learn. It's a process of learning and getting better and better and better. Anyway, we need to try to learn, and then if we find out that we don't have that gift, we teach if we have to. If somebody's in a pinch or we need to, or we want to teach somebody who needs to know about the Lord, but we stay away from, you know, teaching in a class and being on a regular basis. But then he talks about verses 3 through 12, the untamable tongue. And he gives us illustrations of the bit and the rudder in verses 3 and 4. And he talks about, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And look also at ships, although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." So he says that a bit controls a horse. And he says in Psalm 39:1, "I said I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muscle while the wicked are before me." You know, he talks about that we can move a horse with a little tiny bit in their mouth, and we turn the whole body. And then we take a rudder here, and he says that a rudder is very small, but yet it turns a big ship. You know, the size of the rudder converts, and it's the same way with our body. You know, our mouth can say one thing, the next thing you know is controlling our whole body, what we're doing. I think the sequence is, as we talked about it earlier in James, is we think about it for a while, and he even said that you kind of roll it around under your tongue and taste it for a while, and then you talk about it. And then next thing you know, you're doing it. It's kind of a process there. Once it gets in your mind, if you don't kick it out there, you're pretty well in trouble. But then when you talk about it, you forget it. You're going to go ahead and do it after you start talking about doing something. So we just get in a lot of trouble with our mouths. You know, if you talk about, if you live, speak a lie, or then you start living a lie. If you start speaking suggestively, making rude or leading remarks to people about sexual innuendos and different things, next thing you know, you're involved in something that way. You know, it's just one thing leads to another. And the tongue's just hard to control, so we need to try to learn how to control it. But the only way we can control it is with the help of God.
Amen.
So man can't control it. The tongue, if I was to come in here and start complaining and griping and saying a bunch of derogatory, mean things about things, I could change y'all's mood. Or somebody can walk up to you out here somewhere and they just start talking about how bad it is and this, that, and the other. Next thing you know, you done fell in with them, and if you stay there next to them. So somebody starts talking to you, and very quickly, the teacher or somebody comes up to you can change your mood, the mood of a congregation or a mood of a crowd. You know how people can incite a crowd to riot, just start getting up and start telling people. Next thing you know, you got a mob and it's out of control and people are doing things that they shouldn't do. And it all starts with one mouth, one tongue. I could either discourage y'all or I could come in here and encourage y'all. And I could create a problem one way if I did the wrong thing. So we got to be careful about that. Then he talks about we should be humble when we teach, because we need to realize, like I said, that the power we have with our tongue, and we need to watch our tongue around others and make sure what we're saying. He talks about then in verse 5, the illustration of the little fire. And he talks about, he says, and even so, or verses 5 and 6, excuse me, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. One little flame starts a whole forest fire. The great Chicago fire burned 1 million acres in 3 different states, and it all started with a cow kicking over a lantern in a barn. That was 3 states. I understand Savannah, about half of Savannah burned one time back in the 1800s, early 1900s, because of a little fire that started with one place, and the wind catch hold to it, and that's the way it is. We can ruin somebody's reputation. We can boast. Next thing you know, we're trying to back up that boast by doing or saying other things, telling more lies, more stories. Or maybe we take a dare. Somebody dares you. I can do that. You know. Next thing you know, you're doing something you're not supposed to, and you let your mouth jump out there and say something you shouldn't. And you just should have kept your mouth shut. Next thing you know, you got to back it up. Now they want you to back up what you said. So we can destroy churches, families, businesses, friendships. We can destroy a lot of things with the tongue. And some people may never recover from what we've done to them with the tongue. James, he talks about the uncontrolled tongue as a fire. Let's look at Proverbs 26, verse 20 through 26. Proverbs 26, verses 26-20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and a wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down to an inmost body. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are 7 abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. In other words, this person, he's doing all kinds of things with the tongue. Telling tales, and he hates. And he's disguising it with flattery and trying to tell people he likes them, and people are believing that stuff. They're eating it up. And he says, you know, it's a world of evil or iniquity is what my Bible says, but it's a world of evil. So it sets on fire and defiles the whole body. And the tongue causes your whole body to get in trouble. Ecclesiastes 5:6 says, "Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands?" Do you hear what he said? Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. And then he says, "That which sets on fire the course of hell." He talks about it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. Or the course of, talks about your sphere of influence. In other words, it destroys everything around you. You can destroy everything around you by your tongue, everything and everybody around you. And then he talks about it being that it's set on fire by hell. And he uses the word like Jesus used in Matthew and Mark. And he talks about Gehenna and talking about hell. It was a place where they used to sacrifice their children and people, human sacrifice to idols. And they'd cause them to pass through the fire. And what they would do was eventually what happened is when King Josiah became king, he destroyed all those places. And it became a trash heap, a refuse area. And it was always on fire and it was always burning. Y'all remember Lazarus when he said he was in hell and he was talking about they dip a little bit of fire, water on his tongue because his tongue was on fire? And he talks about the fire being on, the hell being on fire and our tongue being on fire. And the tongue is a fire. You know who the main person is uses the tongue to destroy people and to cause problems? It's the devil. He's described as an accuser to brethren in Revelation 12:10. He's described as a liar and a murderer in John 8:44. He says, Jesus was talking to him and he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we need to be cautious about how we use our tongues. And then he starts talking about the tongue, the difficulty of taming the tongue in verses 7 to 12. He talks about every kind of bird and beast and bird of reptile and creature is tamed and has been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You know, we tamed all the animals. We can make killer whales jump through hoops and dolphins do tricks and elephants do things and lions, even stick your head in lions' mouths and they won't bite you. And God gave us the power over the animals in Genesis 1:26. And then he gave us the power again. He said, "The fear shall be of us," Genesis 9:2. He says, "But we'll have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." In verse 8, he talks about an unruly evil, full of poison, deadly poison. Psalms 140, verse 3 says, "They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asp is under their lips." We need to worry about that. We need to worry about how we use our tongue. You know, there was a story about a woman that she went to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I've been gossiping a lot, and what can I do?" And the pastor said, "Well, I want you to go home today. I want you to get a pillow and fill it full of feathers. Cut a hole in the bottom of it, walk around town, letting those feathers fall out." So he said, "Okay." So the next day, he said, "Come back tomorrow." And the next day she came back, and he says, "Well, what do you want me to do now?" He says, "Go back and pick them all back up." And the wind doesn't blow them all away. Gossip's like those feathers. Once it's been spread, we can't go back and change that. We can't go back and destroy somebody's reputation. We need to think about that before we open our mouth. Lastly, we need to ask for help in controlling our tongue. May David's prayer be our own. In Psalms 19:14, he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And then the true believer won't contradict his profession of faith by the regular use of nasty or obscene or offensive words because it's not in you. So we need to remember that. We need to remember that we need to control our tongue because God's a holy God. We need to have a fear of God. We need to remember the holiness of God. And we need to control our tongues because he deserves the glory and honor and the praise. He says in Matthew 7:16, "You will know them by your fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruits you will know them." So somebody tells you they're a Christian and they can't control their tongue and they're not worried about it and they say it's all right. Or they're doing other things and they think it's all right. And they're not being convicted by God and they're not being chastised by God. Then they're just talking because I don't believe they know God. Because you can't bring forth bad fruit from a good tree, not on a consistent basis. So we need to remember that as we go into the world, as we talk to people. Question is do you know Christ? If so, you'll prove it by taming your tongue with Christ's help and asking Him daily to control you, be under submission of the Spirit. If not, then we need to ask Christ to save us. Right now, I want to give somebody here an opportunity. Maybe you don't know Christ. And maybe you've never trusted Christ before. Maybe you don't know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven. Today, if you believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and you believe He died for your sins, and you believe that the only way you can get to heaven is by what He did, and you want to ask God to forgive you today, and you're truly sorry for what you did, then you just ask God right where you are today to forgive you and to save you. It says in Romans 10:9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord, then thou shalt be saved." But you got to believe, and it's not a formula, but you got to truly believe and want to be saved and want to be sorry for you and be sorry for your sins and ask God to forgive you. So right now, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, the Bible says I'm a sinner. Please forgive me right now. I'm sorry for my sins. I believe Jesus was the Son of God. I believe He paid for my sins on the cross. I believe that's the only way I can get into heaven, that I can't get there by anything that I've done or anything I'll ever be able to do, but only by the blood of Jesus. Father, thank You for the blood of Jesus. Thank You for paying for my sin.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you.